Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter number 17 this morning, the book of Luke, chapter number 17. I will get there shortly. Please be in prayer for Chris and I as we take off here next month. Here, I believe it's the 7th of December, which would be next month. And we're just going to take a little long weekend. We haven't been, as I told you, we haven't had a weekend together this year. As far as going on vacation, Jeff and I, we've had more time together on vacation than Chris and I. So we're going to head down to Orlando, going to visit some friends down there and have a good time. But I've had Jeff, he's going to teach our Sunday school hour that morning. Looking forward to that. He's going to have his teen class in here, I believe, as well. Kurt's going to be doing the main service. Looking forward to that. And Dallas is going to be doing the afternoon service. So some things to look forward to in these next couple weeks. So I've had some folks ask me about Christmas. What are we going to do about Christmas? Well, we're going to open some gifts like we normally do. That's what we're going to do. And I know it's on Sunday this year, so I've been thinking about this quite a bit. You folks know that I actually have family in Sioux City as well. And so here's what we're going to do. Please pay attention to this one. We're going to have church on Sunday morning, 10:30. We're going to have one service. And then we're going to have the rest of the afternoon off. Once we're done here, Chris and I, we're going to go up north and celebrate with her family. But one service on Sunday morning for Christmas, 10:30. So we good on that one? All right. You guys, back in the book of Luke, chapter 17. I am there right now. We're going to begin reading in verse number 11. We're going to read down through verse number 17. The title of this message this morning is Gratitude Goes a Long Way. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you this morning. And I'm using a rather unusual story to be thankful in, but as we begin to read this, you'll begin to see these things. Let's begin to read in verse number 11 down through verse number 17. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Before I begin going on any further, I must give you this brief explanation. Jesus knew exactly where he was going all the time. He always had an agenda. It's just something that just didn't come up that day. He had a purpose, and it is no different than today as he's going through Samaria and Galilee. Verse number 12, it says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master." Notice the two titles that they gave him. One, they addressed him by name. The second is they gave him Master. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, I want you to understand something right here. Why am I stopping at this particular verse? Because as we go on and finish the reading of the story, you're going to see a change in the attitudes of 9 individuals. You're going to see one that stands out. We're going to dwell with him for a little bit. So verse number 14, it says, "And when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." Now, could you imagine the sound that was coming out of this man who was plagued with leprosy as he was basically cast out of the city? Nobody wanted to had anything to do with him or his 9 other friends that he was with. Saw that he was healed. He looked back towards Jesus and he began to glorify him, praising God for what he's done. "God, thank you for sending your son to this world so that I can be healed and I'm no longer plagued with this leprosy." What an amazing day for this man. Says in verse number 15, it says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There were 10, but Mr. Samaritan, where are the 9 that were with you? Where are the 9 that I sent you to the priest to be healed? Where are they at? Are they not grateful for what has taken place in their life? Are they not thankful for no longer being plagued with this disease that caused torment in their body, that caused many ailments, that caused them to be cast away from their friends and families. Where are they? Verse number 18, it says, "There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." Verse number 19, "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll begin to explain this passage here. Lord, so many times we have come to you as your sons and daughters, and we have asked you to do specific things in our lives. We've asked you to provide for us financially, and you've done those things. We've asked you to provide a healing in our bodies, and you've done those things. We've asked you to take our loved ones home when they're so desperately wanting to be with you, and you've done those things. But Lord, so often when you've done that task that we have asked, we're no different than these nine lepers here that were mentioned in the Word. Where were they? Why weren't they giving thanks? Why weren't they praising your name? Lord, we need to recognize this morning that we need to be grateful and thankful for the things that you do in our life. And Lord, we need to acknowledge it just like this Samaritan did when you do those things, because you deserved to be thanked. You deserved gratitude going towards you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the importance of this morning. We ask it in your name. Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 13 this morning. Book of Leviticus, chapter number 13 this morning. We have quite a few passages that we're going to get through this morning to help set up this story before we get back to these 10 lepers here. But back in the day, verses 9 through 11 is the verses that we're going to begin reading. Back in the day, a leprous person was considered unclean. A leprous person was one that nobody wanted to be around during this particular time in their life. So let's begin reading in verse number 9, and we'll read down through verse number 11. Chapter 13, verse number 9 down through 11, says, "When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising. It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean." So you see here in this particular passage that man didn't have anything to do with a leprous person, but a priest had something to do here. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5. 2 Kings, chapter number 5. We're going to read a lengthy portion here, so please be patient with me this morning as we continue to set this scene up here. 2 Kings, chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 down through verse number 7. 27, and we're going to read a story about Nahum. It says, "Now Nahum, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." You see the decorations that he had, all the accolades that were just presented here in this first verse. But at the end of this verse, it is shown here that he was a leper. Verse number 2, it says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophets that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But look at Naaman's response to Elisha as we go on here, because it says this, But Naaman was wroth and went away. Naaman wanted to be cured of this disease called leprosy. Naaman no longer wanted to be an outcast. Naaman no longer wanted to have his body go through this torment. He goes on and writes a letter to the king. King, here you go. You got all this. These things coming to you. You got 10,000 of silver coming to you. And here's what I want you to do. And Naaman says, Am I God? I cannot do these things. So he sent to a man by the name of Elisha. And Elisha saying, Hey, I got a remedy for you. Here's what you need to do. And so all you have to do is go dip yourself into the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be cleansed. It sounds like a simple plan. But Naaman didn't really care for the idea, and he was wroth, and he went away. Let's pick it back up in verse number 11. And said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abner and Phaphar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in him and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great things, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. But Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 meals, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto the gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth onto my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him, said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now, there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garment. And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments. He laid upon him 2 of his servants, and they bare him before the Lord." What I want us to get out of this particular passage here this morning is this. As we continue to set the stage for what has taken place, even men of great honor, even men of great stature, even men who was well-liked among the people, were affected with this disease. There is no boundaries to it. It is said over in Brazil, I forget what other country, but there's still roughly about 20,000 cases of leprosy per year in these 2 countries. In the United States, it is very real here, but the cases are not like it is over in those 2 countries. For our country only averages about 150 cases of leprosy per year. Pretty amazing when you begin to think about 20,000 to 150. We've come a long way. But even men of great honor are affected by these things. What I want us to understand here is what took place was Naaman was healed. He dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times. The Jordan River is not a very clean river. It is, in some areas, considered to be tainted. But this is where Elisha had told him to dip. What took place on that day, after he dipped 7 times into the River Jordan, we see that Naaman was healed. And during that time, Naaman recognized one important thing that day. And it goes along with what we read in the book of Luke, chapter number 17. He recognized God that day. What I also want us to understand as we read this passage here, in the last few years, especially this 2019 through where we're at today, with COVID that has taken place in our country and other countries around the world, social distancing was required by all of us from our government. Some of us held to that requirement. Some of us did not do those things. And we had a social distancing of up to 6 feet. But back in the day when leprosy was alive and rampant during this time, their social distancing was required to be up to 16 feet. Think about that for a second. That's from about me to Patty Stafford that's sitting here in the front row. It's good to see you. If I would have known that was you when I was walking up, I would have gave you a hug. But it's good to see you. But social distancing was required during that time. But there is good news. There's always good news, amen? Well, what's that good news? Well, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. Book of Matthew, chapter number 10. And I'm trying to create this story today for one specific reason. And that is this. You and I need to be thankful for what God has done or what God is doing in our life. So what is this good news about the lepers here? Let's pick it up in verse number 5. We'll read down through verse number 8. Verse number 5, it says this. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse number 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely you give." The encouraging news about this is God sent his son for a few things. One was this, to save our soul from hell to heaven, but he also came to cleanse the lepers. I want you to think about that. When nobody else in society had anything to do with the lepers besides the priests, there is one individual who had everything to do with them, one who was not afraid of of getting the disease, not afraid of being around their droplets that would come out of their mouth because that's how it would be spread during that time. One who wasn't worried about those things, but one who put all that aside and said, you know what? I'm going to be among them and I'm going to heal them. You think about that. Jesus had a desire to be around the lepers. He didn't forget about them. He didn't stop loving them. But he cared for them. Well, why is that so important? Can I tell you something this morning? Even when you're sick, Jesus cares about you. Jesus still loves you. And he still desires to do the best for you. But I do want us to understand, when we go through their sicknesses at times, God's trying to do something in our life. God's trying to use those sicknesses to draw us closer to him. Now, as we read in Luke chapter number 17, how many lepers did we read about? We read about 10 lepers. One leper that was healed by God did what? Thanked God, drew to God. The other 9 left God. They walked away. What are you saying? They weren't thankful for what God has done in their life. They didn't see what God was trying to teach them during their time of sickness. I've heard many people who have been in a hospital on so many different occasions would say this: well, God's trying to teach me something here, so I need to learn what he has for me. But Jesus came to heal the lepers. That's great news. Go ahead and turn your Bibles back to Luke 17 this morning. Luke chapter 17 is our main text. We'll get back there. As we just ended setting the story up here, now we're going to focus on these men who had this disease. 10 leprous men sought Jesus for healing. Verse number 12, it says, "And he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master.'" They didn't stop there, but they said a few other words that ring to me, that I want to ring to you. And it is this: "Have mercy on us. Lord, can't you see the anguish that we're in? Can't you see the rejection that we're getting from the people that we grew up with, that we loved, and now we're outcast? Can't you see this disease plaguing our bodies and just causing torment and turmoil? Lord, can't you not see that it's giving us unrest? Can't you see the fear that is in our eyes? Lord, Jesus, Master, will you please not have mercy on us?" They were begging for Jesus to do a work in their lives. There's something strange that took place in this story here, and that begins in verse number 14. It says, "Go show yourselves," where? "Unto the priest." Well, why is that important? Because as I set this story up back in Leviticus and back in 2 Kings, I set this up for a very good reason. Where do they go? They went to the priest. Jesus here is sending them to the priest. Now, could have Jesus healed them right then and there on the spot? Without a doubt, he could have. But Jesus had a certain way that he was going to handle this, and he sends them to the priest. As we read this story, all of these men that stopped Jesus and asked him to have mercy on them, all of them were healed. But we read that only one recognized Jesus. That's found in verse number 16. It says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. This man here was so grateful that he wasn't going to go on with the rest of his life, going out into the country or wherever he was at, going out finding his family that he was not able to be around during his time. He didn't go to his friend's house and begin to say, "Hey, I'm healed, I'm back, man, we can have fellowship once again." What's so important about this man is this. He went back to Jesus and he said thanks. Why is that so important? Because God has done so many things in our lives. And I'm talking every single one of us that's here today, that we're no different than the nine. And we walk away. And we don't say thank you. I've seen so many of God's people, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm just talking about people in general, that God has done a work in their life and God gets no recognition. I believe it's about time for God's people to be thankful for what he is doing in your life. We overlook so many things. But let's be honest. Let's be real here. We're ungrateful for what God has done in our life. Many of you guys know I'm around this town quite often. And I'm out and about, and I see so many things. There's something that I see almost twice daily that I am so grateful for, but I don't give God the glory that I should every single time. I see countless of many people running stop signs or stoplights, and guess where I'm at? Right there. That happened to me yesterday. I'm in my own vehicle. I forget where I was going. Maybe I was going crazy. I don't know. But I was driving down the road, and just out of nowhere, I see this white truck on 16th and 2nd Avenue just barrel through the stop sign. And I was feet away. And you know what I did that day? Something I should do every single day. God, thank you for sparing me from what tragedy could have taken place in my life. Because I saw how fast this guy was going. And I knew if I would have went through, he would have hit me and I would have been seriously hurt. But as soon as that happened, and I'm not doing this, I don't do this all the time. I'm not bringing any type of glorification to me at all, because it's not about me. But I finally said, you know what, God? Thank you. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for having your eye out for me. Lord, I don't deserve the things that you do in my life. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your mercy, Lord. I don't deserve any of these things, but because I'm your child, you want to bless me. You want to take care of me. You want to provide for me. You want to protect me from all harm. And so, God, I thank you for the things that you do. But we become a people that are so ungrateful and we take God for granted. God doesn't have to do those things in our life. God doesn't have to protect us. God doesn't have to heal us when we're sick. God doesn't have to provide for us financially when we put ourselves in a financial restraint. But you know what? Because we're God's children and he wants to bless us and he wants to continue to bestow his grace and his mercy upon us, you and I should be thankful for the things that he's doing in our lives. And we should return those things and say, God, thank you for being the God that you are. God, thank you for allowing your grace in my life where I didn't deserve it today, because I've been such a rebellious person. I've been so negative and so bad lately. But God, you love me regardless. And so, God, thank you for those things. God, thank you for showing that you still have your hand of mercy upon my life. I don't deserve your mercy. Lord, I deserve judgment. I deserve to be disciplined. But God, you're giving your mercy towards me. So God, I thank you for your mercy that you're giving me in my life. God, I thank you for being the God of your true word when you say, if we ask for forgiveness, you're going to forgive us. God, I'm not deserving of your forgiveness. I don't deserve those things. But God, you, when I ask, you said you're going to forgive, and you don't bring those things back up to me. So God, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. God, thank you for not reminding me of my past, where I failed you, where I've done wrong. But God, thank you for being the God who honors his word, who's no longer a truce breaker, but as a God of promises, and he's going to forgive our sins. God, thank you for forgiving me my sins. God, I want to sit here and I want to take time because back in April 25th of 1986, my soul was on its way to hell. I was not in your presence. I wasn't even going to heaven. My thoughts weren't even on you. But God, thank you for knocking on the door. Thank you, God, for convicting me of my sin. God, thank you for realizing my sins separating me from you for eternity. God, thank you for continuing to search my heart so that I can come to my hands and knees and seek and ask you for forgiveness. And you saved my soul from hell to heaven. Lord, thank you for those things. But we don't do those things. We take advantage of God. We've seen our loved ones as they're on their deathbed and death is coming upon them. And we want them to be healed so bad, and we're begging God and we're pleading with God. God, please have mercy upon them. God, please bring healing in their life. I'm not willing and I'm not ready to let them go. God, would you please hear my prayer? Will you please answer my prayer and spare my loved one of death? And God will do those on occasions. And we will pray people out of heaven. And where's our thanks? And where's our glory to God? But so often we're just like the nine that are here. We call upon God and we expect God to do what we ask him. He does those things and we're ungrateful and we walk away. And Jesus, as he's talking to this Samaritan here, he says this in verse number 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10? How come it's just you? Where are the nine? The nine, as I read in Scripture, only wanted Jesus for one thing. They just wanted his healing. And that's what they're content with. I like how this ends out. In verse number 19, it says, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. As I read this verse, my mind kept going back to the woman who had a blood issue for 12, 13 years of her life that she could not be healed from. She knew that Jesus was in her area. She knew that the only way that she was able to get healing was just to get into the midst of Jesus and hopefully have a conversation with him. But as Jesus was in this place, Jesus was surrounded by people. And she wanted so desperately to talk to him. She so wanted desperately to Jesus to acknowledge that she was there so that she can have a conversation and say, Lord, I've got this disease. I can't be healed by man, but can you do these things? And she wasn't even able to have a conversation with him. But you know what she did? She touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus knew it, and he stops, and he looks around and says, who touched me? Because I knew virtue went out of me. I'm paraphrasing here. And the lady says, it is I. You know what he says? Thy faith had made thee whole. Oh, what a grateful woman she was that day. But we sit, we take advantage of Jesus, and we expect him to work on our behalf. 10, but only one was grateful. I look at this verse, I look at this particular chapter, and I begin to think, why is this such a big deal to Jesus? I believe it's because of this. Jesus wanted to hear their stories. Jesus wanted to hear of their thoughts of what it was like to be healed. This one came back and he's able to talk to Jesus and be able to express some things. Number two, Jesus needed to be recognized for the work that he does in the life of an individual. I have several things that I believe that we can thank God for today, and I'm just going to give you one. And I hope that as we get done, you can go back home and begin to think of some more things to thank God for. But the one thing that I'm grateful today is this: salvation. Salvation. I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve God seeking me. I didn't deserve God never giving up on me. But God pursued me. And you know what? I believe there's somebody in here this morning that God's pursuing. I truly do. You mean you think this morning there's one person in here that's not saved? Yeah, I do. I don't know who it is. That's not for me to know. God knows. That's the important thing. But I do know this: God's pursuing you. And when he's talking to you and when he's knocking at your heart, I encourage you to give in. Because he's trying to save your soul from hell to heaven. But I'm thankful for his salvation. I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything for it. All I did was believe. He did all the work. He went to the cross. He was tormented for us. He gave up his life for us. But in closing, what am I trying to get at? We, as a church, need to show our gratitude more than we do. God is worthy of us being thankful for what he's done in our life. I can probably go around from person to person and ask for a personal testimony of what God's done for you. Which is why I'm giving you a good amount of time to think about what he's done so you can come back this afternoon and begin to express your thanks to him. Why? Because God deserves it. He deserves it. And I believe that we forget about the things that he's done in our life. We overlook those things. But God is gracious to us. And we need to be thankful for what he's done. I'm so grateful for what he's done in my life. I'm going to share something with you. I've asked you guys to pray for my health these last couple years. Scared to death of an AFib problem that I have or had. A heartbeat that was beating 172 beats per minute, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For how long, I have no idea. I could have gone out into this world with a massive stroke. It could have killed me. But I thank God who spared me. Well, that's just a simple thing. No, it's not simple. But God spared me. He even did something for me a couple weeks ago. By lowering my blood pressure from 165 to 129, that's a big thing. That's huge. But these are things that we overlook. Oh, the doctors are doing this. No, God's given the doctors the ability to help us out. I'll never take that away from God. But we need to be thankful for what he's done. And as I close, can I say this? Not only do we need to be thankful to God, but we need to be thankful for each other. You know, God's given us a good group of believers here. And we need to be thankful for each and every single one of us. You know, we might get underneath each other's skin from time to time. That happens in a family, does it not? I grew up with brothers and sisters. We get underneath each other's skin. And we're still in our late 40s, some of them in their late 50s. Mid-50s, I'm sorry. And we still get underneath each other's skin. But even with that being said, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for each other. I'm going to say this morning. Not only am I thankful for God, but I'm thankful for every single one of you this morning. I am. And I love you folks. More than I can express, more than I can show. But I am very thankful for you.